Oh, you've been
loving mercy coming out of your ears. I mean, there was dance one, which was September 14.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A year ago.
Dance two, which was last June.
Yeah.
Here we go with dance three.
Yeah. It's good. Third time's a...
It's...
We're ready.
It's amazing. It's still in the conversation. We're so excited.
Yeah.
So, with God's favor, you'll be the competitor of Jane's and the best supporting actress.
Well, no one competes with Jane.
Well, not directly with her, but...
She's fond of...
Do you know her well? Yeah.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's
awesome.
One of my favorite people in the whole world.
She is awesome. She is so cool. Yeah.
I want to be like her.
Oh, you heard my speech. I mean, I've met her and was like, I wanted to consume her and be her forever.
She's a total badass. She's so good too. She's amazing. She's amazing.
I mean, they played clips of her, you know, different. It's like, and she was so fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, she is beautiful, but I mean, you know, I came to her in the 80s, really, and so I, you know, the whole 60s. The whole barefoot in the park and the Barbarellas and all that, I saw so much later in my life. And so I kind of, the image I have of her is, you know, like when she, you know, in the glasses in 9 to 5 or like Golden Pond, you know. And then to see this bombshell.
Yeah.
She was like Brigitte Bardot.
Yeah. She was also one of the first, she really took the power in her own hands though, right? In terms of projects, you know, especially for a woman.
She produced 9 to 5, she put the whole thing together.
Coming Home happened, she was like, you know.
Totally. Doll maker.
They shoot horses, don't they? Have you seen that? That's an amazing
movie. Oh, yeah. They don't shoot horses.
Yeah.
It's an amazing movie.
Yeah. You know, she's a huge, she loves Love and Mercy.
I know.
She talked to you about it?
She emailed me.
Oh, they're nice.
Yeah. She's so sweet about it. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah.
And you guys, of course, ran into each other when you were shooting Youth?
Yeah.
Was she at a different time, or?
Actually, the first time I met her, we were in a spa, we were working at the spa in the Swiss Alps, but it was closed down while we were filming there. We were there in the off season, and I bumped into her in the lobby. I was like, oh, hey, I'm Paul, and she was like, yeah. She's like, do you know where the gym is? And I was like, the gym was closed, and I was too afraid to tell her.
Right.
I was like, is that way?
I'm not going to be the one to break it to her. Yeah.
The gym was closed. They opened it for her, but yeah.
Yeah. I have to say, the whole time I was watching Youth, I thought you were studying Michael. You were clearly going to play Michael Caine.
That's so interesting. I thought it could have been that too when
movie.
I was reading it, when I read the script the first time.
I was like, oh, he's clearly studying him. It's all these like interesting little like moments between the two of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't see Hitler coming.
No, me either. Yeah.
Great boots.
Hey, thanks. Zoe got these for me. Yeah.
The girl's got style.
Trying to make me, yeah.
The girl's got good style. Yeah.
So since we talked, you know, you were telling me your enthusiasm about the Smile Sessions.
Yeah.
Which I hadn't really bought.
Yeah.
And it was part of our discussion. That's an amazing thing. I'd always been in the Pet Sound thing, but that's really good.
Yeah, the unfinished, the 67 one, that first disc is amazing. But then just the sort of artistic document that the next discs are, it's like, it's unbelievable. Yeah, it's a really...
just much of a rich thing.
Yeah, it's like a true documentation of like an artist at work, like trying to like figure it out in all these different versions, and he was so clearly like searching for something, you know, and you can kind of feel it in all those tracks, putting them together. And it's cool.
And I know we talked about this before, but just for the record, you actually sing. It is your voice on which songs in the film?
There's two where I'm alone and it's just me playing and singing God Only Knows and Surf's Up, and we just did those live, you know. In fact, that was like, I think my first day of filming, I had to do the Surf's Up thing and I was terrified, but it ended up being so fun. And then Bill did a great job with the studio stuff, because a lot of it starts with us in the studio, actually what I was singing on that day and what some of the musicians in the room were playing, and that slowly builds and morphs into the song that you know. So I'm actually not even 100% sure where it switches over, but some of the studio scenes I'm singing as well.
And the very opening shot in which you're kind of muttering, talking to yourself, one of the most perfect things in that movie. That was done early-ish?
The first 2 weeks of filming, we were in the studio that Brian actually recorded Pet Sounds in, which is right over here on Sunset.
Right.
And it was super fun. Bill really kept his word. A lot of people want to do stuff live or do stuff a certain way, and it ends up being just so logistically complicated and time-wise and all this. But he got real musicians in there and had 2 60-millimeter cameras and really got to, like, fuck around. Like, I got to just, like, work with these guys. And so that scene, that was a written scene where Brian was kind of coming up with the song You Still Believe in Me, actually, with Tony Asher in the room. And then there was a take where I think I just sat there at the piano kind of rambling, and that ended up opening the film, which was not in the script, you know, that way. But that was a choice he made in the edit room.
The rawness of it, because it was shot at 16, it's like it was caught on the fly.
And the camera wasn't close to me, and I was just sitting there, you know. I don't even remember it that well, and then I saw it, and I was like, oh, all right.
Okay. Yeah.
Two scenes that bring it home for you, for me. The moment where Brian says, where John Cusack says, I'm not married anymore, and you don't respond, you just go, that is perfect.
Thank you.
And the moment at the piano when he's just playing and you're, those are timeless. I'll never forget
that. That's good, because those are both improvs. That was us
really?
Just, yeah.
It didn't say, she mouths okay, but doesn't,
No.
Did the script tell you to actually say the word okay?
Mm-mm.
No.
Nope. Okay. There was nothing. I just felt like she would have filled that in.
Yeah,
it was more that that car scene is so important. You know, it's how they really met in the dealership. You know, so it was just so, needed to be so precise in my mind as to a woman meeting someone unlike anyone else she'd ever met and being intrigued and a little turned on by him and then coming to like some really intense information that can't actually be off-putting, which I think to a lot of people, to me personally, Elizabeth Banks, that would have been all. I would have been like, okay, babe.
Well, that's way more. That's why you like her, because she doesn't.
Yeah.
Correct. Like, there's a real kindness to her. But also, don't forget, she's trying to sell him a car.
Yeah, that also. Yeah.
So it was just a very delicate, like, I'm going to keep this guy on the hook. Because I want him to buy this car. I'm a really good car saleswoman. But also, I was thrilled that okay was in the movie. Because I felt that, I really felt like that was her approach to him.
Mm-hmm. You know? It shows that she can hang, though.
She can hang with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. You can throw your shit at me. I'm good with it.
Yeah.
A guy I met, I tell you, right on the gondola, told me, claim to know that the very first scene that Paul Giamatti did was the you're being served
yes,
is that true?
I think it is. You'd have to. I'm not 100% sure, but it was early in our shoot, in our schedule. Yeah, it was the dealership and that moment.
Jumped right into that. And you were,
Yeah, actually, it was scripted that she never opened the door. That scene is not 100% real life. In other words, I don't remember the exact details of how Melinda had him served, but there was some, you know, maneuvering on her part to trick him into getting the papers, but I don't think that they actually met on the day that the papers were served. And so we were playing a little bit with reality. But it was scripted that she just stayed behind the door and allowed him to sort of spew all that shit at her and didn't confront him. And after you meet Melinda for 5 minutes, you just realize, like, she was not afraid of him and she would have opened the door. And we, on the day, Bill said, what do you think? Like, we had this really interesting conversation about open the door, don't open the door. My instinct was she should definitely open the door. And he was like, I think Melinda would open the door, right? I'm like, let's do one where she opens the door.
That's cool.
And see.
Yeah.
So we had done it with the door closed and no confrontation, and then opened the door. What I found, actually, it ended up not even being about my character, but it was really about, now we get to see Eugene Landy and understand that he's actually not gonna bite. Yeah. He's just this
puffed
bark.
Up and it deflates him.
Totally right deflates yeah, him. And true. It just made, I think we, the minute the door opened and we had the scene and Paul and I looked at each other, it was like, oh, obviously this is how it's supposed to be. Hmm. You know? Because that's the moment when she wins.
It's funny, when he first comes in and you guys were in the car and you can see him out there, first thing he does is looks at his watch and right away he looks malevolent because he was looking at his watch. It's a very, you know, it's a placid, serene, still moment. And there's yeah. a guy who wants to break it up.
That's right. Hmm. Yeah.
So how's War and Peace? Have you seen it?
I haven't. No, I'm going to...
You're not still shooting that?
No.
Oh, God.
No, but I'm going to London Film Festival next week, so I'll pop in and maybe take a sneak peek. The Sorrentino film Youth is playing there. But I'll probably stop by and see if I can see something. Yeah, I don't know. It's always terrifying. It's like exciting. You really want to, but you're also like, oh, shit.
Dreading.
Yeah. How are you guys in terms of looking at dailies or captures on the do you like to do that or you like to stay away from it? What's your...
I don't do it. Really.
Yeah, I don't on set. Yeah, no. I think trying to, you know, get the less self-conscious I can get, the better. So, but, you know, I like to see the finished product for sure and see what all that work and everybody's work went to, like the collaboration, not just, you know, like script to screen, the process and like what did the thing end up being. It's not always fun to watch yourself, but I have to know. And I feel like a lot of people say they don't watch their stuff or lie.
I think everybody watches their stuff. I mean, I don't want to see it again.
No,
like,
dude,
I usually see something like one time. And I'm like, all right,
yeah.
moving on. I don't know that I want to. Like, I don't like flip through the channels and then watch myself. No. I don't think I've ever done that.
No.
Have either of you ever come upon something, you know, Netflix late one night, and you've been surprised about how really good or maybe not as good? Some kind of surprise. In looking at yourself, is that ever?
I'm not kidding. I will not. I would never stop on myself on the TV. Okay.
Yeah.
I love my fellow actors. I want to watch what they're all doing. I'm not very interested in going and seeing myself.
So, what's your next big directing triumph going to be?
I don't know. I'm not. I have some nice choices, and I. Don't know yet, 100%. But it will be something next year. That won't be before. It won't be before spring, summer of next year.
And Dustin Hoffman would probably tell you got to completely reverse prep course and not do another Pitch Perfect movie. You got to do something completely different to let them know that you have range.
That's right. Yes, of course. No. The main thing about me is that people don't think I have any range.
No.
I do the same thing over and over again. That's what things has been pinned on me. I don't know. I'm not really worried about it.
They're going to tag you with something and they're going to...
It's okay. I'll be branded with making a really funny movie that's joyful. Fine. I don't care.
You won't direct
the
third one?
I might.
Yeah, you might.
It's one of my... Yeah, it's definitely on my radar. Definitely on my radar.
Yeah.
But you know, where it's very early, we just started putting it together. We just started like even talking about what it might be about, which is oddly our process on Pitch Perfects is like, we're gonna make this. They're not gonna want another one. Like, we never think there's gonna really be another one. Sort of halfway through this one, we were like, there might be another one. Should we start talking about it? And then we just never got around to talking about it until right now.
You know, I was just thinking about my favorite musicals and how you could, if you wanted to be liberal with the definition, you could almost call Love and Mercy a musical.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a musical, but it's driven by its...
Yeah, I think that the spirit of the music is essential
to
Brian, you know, and to the film. Yeah.
Now, I have a friend from Toronto. I stayed at his place during the festival, and he took a friend of his. He liked it so much, he took a friend of his. He lives on Prince Edward Island. He dragged a couple to see it, you know, and the guy fell in love with it. Right? I keep hearing that people really, you know, it's not that it's popular, it's loved, this film.
Yeah.
I think that's a credible thing to say.
Yeah.
Do you have any
no,
stories, friends?
Yeah, I No, I feel that way. People are like, yeah, Pigeon Room 2 is so great. What an accomplishment. It's awesome. And then I get emails about this movie. Like, I got an email from a friend recently who watched it on an airplane coming back from London. And it was this sort of really personal, he had a really personal experience with the movie. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. Like, you know, he was like, there was just such kindness in this film, and I get really moved by, you know, kindness done well, and it's just, that's the experience I'm having right now, is people are finding, it's really speaking to someone on sort of a really intense level.
Yeah, I think it's cool. You can tell there are people who have, like, a real experience with watching it, like, with themselves, which is different than just watching something and going, oh, that was really good, or, you know, like, there are, in, you know, not necessarily everyone, but there's been enough people who it feels like, well, they actually, like, yeah, something happened to them while they watched it, you know, and that's, like, yeah, it's pretty great.
It's pretty great.
You're Brian and John's Brian. The overwhelming feeling, every I've seen it about six times, is that this guy has value. And I've got the Blu-ray now.
Thank you.
This guy has value. You really stop hurting him, stop invading him, stop trying to mess with his head. Just, you know, you're saying that to Murray, you're saying that to Mike Love, you're saying that it's obviously to Gene. Three villains, and they're all messing with him all the whole time. And so there's overwhelming feeling to want to protect, shelter, you know, let him be. It's very strong.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about sort of Brian. There's two things that come to mind when you say that to me. One is I remember reading him talking about how he wanted to make music that would help people, like, smile or heal, which I thought is so generous considering what he went through, you know, and how he felt, because it's so easy to make the opposite choice. Mm-hmm. And I feel that way about the song Love and Mercy, actually, too, which is, that's kind of what I don't think enough people gave Brian when he needed it until Melinda came along. Mm-hmm. But he yet still wanted to give it, which I think is really beautiful.
Yeah.
I think the reason I didn't respond as well to that album when it came out in 88?
88, I think, yeah.
That was the Eugene Landy album.
It was.
I said, wait, whoa, why is he the co-producer on it?
He produced that.
I immediately didn't like the look of that.
Yeah, but that song, I mean, the word is beautiful. It's a beautiful song. The words are amazing. Yeah.
It holds.
Yeah.
So life is just luck, isn't it? You guys just had these two roles drop into your lap. You didn't scheme, you didn't manipulate, you didn't, you know, have to fight for it, or did you? No, you were just chosen. Life smiled upon you. The clouds parted, and you got a good role.
I think that's true for me. I think so. I don't know.
I don't totally believe in that, but...
Yeah. You have to work. You have to work. Okay, different viewpoint. Okay.
I mean, luck requires all the experiences that bring you to the moment to be lucky.
Okay.
So I do believe that there is, you know, I believe in luck. I understand that concept, but I also think you have to place yourself in the position to sort of to find it.
What's the quote? I don't know if it's from golf or what, but the more I practice, the luckier I get.
Exactly.
Which,
exactly.
Know, is, yeah.
Before they come in, can I grab shots of you guys? Would you mind if I...
Photos?
Yes.
Photographs?
With a light hitting the side of your face. So
together? What are you? You arranged. You directed.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll just stand here and we'll let the light... You guys, I'll have one with you in front.
Paul, go first.
Oh. No, I mean, the two of you.
Oh, together. Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah.
We love to be together. We like touching.
Okay. That's excellent. Now, let's just try, if we don't mind. One of those, you're in front and you're behind, and then... Yes, that's perfect. That's perfect. Excellent. Okay. Okay. And one more. You in front, and something like that. Now the light's on. Try again. That's good. That's good. Okay. Got it.
All right.
Well, I'm looking forward to. Are you going to be at this thing at Vibrato?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can come.
We love.
Monday night.
Monday night.
Is it? Oh,
It's Monday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah, it should be cool.
We love to see Brian sing.
Yeah. And I hear it's kind of a small, like,
it is. I've been
place.
There before. It's
okay.
It's cool.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can just go there and get a drink. If you, you know, I've been up there a couple times.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, okay. I've never been
there. It's nice.
Sounds
it's
cool.
The size.
Mm hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be fun and intimate.
Did you happen, by the way, did you happen to see Brian and the whole group do a performance ever in the last few months? They've been doing a tour.
Yeah, they did a tour. I was away for most of it. I mean, I saw him play, you know, previous to this tour.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get to see this one, which I was bummed about.
I sent my mom and my aunt.
Did you? Yeah.
They went to see it in Boston. I was out of town when he played the Greek. Everybody went to the Greek.
Yeah.
We didn't go.
I know.
I was out of town, too. But I saw him play. He played a benefit down here with a bunch of different artists that I went to, not at the Pantages, but the one across the street, the Ford or whatever. That was pretty amazing. Like, all these really interesting people sang with him.
Mm. Well, the singers.
It was wild. And then he got up, and, like, Carney was there and sang.
Oh, wow.
And, like, it was really cool, yeah. And he was great.
The singers at the thing I went to at the Greek, I mean, I thought that was the best thing I've ever seen, ever. They were, you know, 12, 13 people.
Yeah.
Well, it, that's
band, they're great. These guys.
The band is amazing.
Yeah, they crush it.
Amazing. But that's the other thing is the sound is so full and like everything he always made was like seemingly simple, and then actually like you see what it takes to create the music.
Right.
And
that's like the amazing. It goes
so
down
amazing.
So smooth, but there's so much going on.
So much going on. I know. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know who all is going to be there Monday night, but...
I don't know either. I wonder if it'll be the full thing or stripped out. I don't know.
And they started off with, is it Our Prayer, it's called?
That's the opening track, Smile.
Yeah, that's beautiful way to start
amazing?
A concert.
Yeah, and just start an album. I love that. Yeah.
I was actually thinking when I got there, gee, do I want to be here? All these, you know, hot-bellied old Beach Boys fans. And then I got there and it's like, I totally, it just flew through me.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
No, I mean, literally, when I saw this concert down here, like, Kesha sang. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Norah Jones, Kesha. I'm trying to think. It wasn't the Killers. It was, oh, my God. The band that, like, always dresses up and goes out in the audience and, like, balls. Who the hell are they? I'm totally blanking. Anyway.
Goes out to the audience and what?
But just, meaning just really interesting young people who've all been influenced got up and sang. It was kind of. It was just wild, you know?
Yeah.
My
to
older
see
son
him.
And his girlfriend, and they saw it for the first time. They all went right back to their house, which is always the mark of interest. And they started Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Right.
And the whole thing.
Yeah.
Doing the whole 2 hours of study, which is...
Well, you forget how much of the music you know. I mean, I just remember... it's like, I know the lyrics to all the... They're like in my body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't even realize, you know?
But that's pretty exciting because when people have like a slightly new perspective on Pet Sounds or something after seeing the film, you know, because you do hear more things in it, you know, once you see it kind of broken down, that's cool. Yeah.
So what are you going to be acting in next? Do you have any plans either that I don't know about?
I have a movie coming out called The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2. And you'll be in you.
Yeah,
and War and Peace.
December, and then I think War and Peace might be on like in January. They're talking about, which is soon. War and Peace might air in January. I'm hearing. So, although I don't actually know, so that would be the next.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked your Laura Bush, by the way.
Thank you.
I didn't mention that before.
Thank you. I worked really hard on that. Thank you. She was amazing. I had so much fun doing that. So much fun doing that job. I mean, intense, amazing fun. I loved playing her. I met her as well, not for that movie. I just happened to have met her in my life, and it was a great inspiration. I used every ounce of my memory of meeting her. She's very interesting.
So I've been saying all along, I say in the column every now and then that obviously the big award season movies are starting. But there are two that from the previous part, there's Mad Max and then there's Love and Mercy.
Yeah.
People have to hang on to those. So
it's great.
Yeah,
it's
great. Loved Mad Max.
Yeah, that was fucking cool, right? Oh my god, that guitar player, the bass player, whatever that guy. I mean,
that
I was
guy,
just like, who? What?
I literally, yeah, like, I was like, this is Star Wars for like this desert scape. Do you know what I mean? I was like,
George
the
Miller
faces and
old?
The all. I know, right?
That movie is
but
made
just,
by a young person at heart. I mean, that shit is crazy.
The energy, yeah. But also every decision about what that world looked like and was amazing to me. I just thought it was so interesting and artistic and incredible. And yeah, I loved everything. All the makeup and the clothes and the whole design of it is off the charts. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Somebody did a sort of video study of how it doesn't make your eye work. Everything is centered just so it doesn't make you struggle.
Interesting.
Exactly, you know, so you don't have to ever search.
Right, 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 right. You're not overwhelmed. Some of those movies are super overwhelming, huh?
There's a whole school of editing, chaos editing, right? Mm. And that's the idea, to give you a sense of, you know, being overwhelmed, and this is just a swirl of activity. And, George Miller, man.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Face masks and like the old guys. And
yeah, that was.
It was incredible.
Amphetamine of a movie. It's just, yeah. It's good.
So I'd like to see you in a Guillermo del Toro film. So.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, me
okay.
too. Can I be in one?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah.
Can we go haunt a house together?
I've heard he's a cool guy, too. Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen Crimson Peak?
Yes, I have.
It's good. Yeah, I heard it's good.
I'm not as much of it. I like his smaller films.
Yeah.
The Spanish language ones.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
He plays it down.
Yeah.
And he makes, you know, he's doing well by the big studio for what they want. And
yeah.
I just don't think it's kind of come together for me.
Right. Yeah.
Kronos.
Yeah,
Kronos. Vampire movie.
Yeah.
And of course, Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Pan's Labyrinth is like a masterpiece.
Dope. But he's the most brilliant guy. Known a little bit.
Yeah.
Just, you know, you feel like you're in a class when you talk to him. He's not that.
That's cool.
Very human and looking.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
But, you know, you gravitate towards being with the big directors. They all think that you're a special.
You're special.
Pretty amazing. Do you hear that? It was like, yeah, I'm going to start blushing. That's sweet. Yeah.
That'll be good. Did you ever see the video I posted of you getting beat up? It's the greatest. Have you seen this video? It's the greatest video of all time.
Yes,
of
I've
you.
Heard about you. Wait, but you didn't make it.
No,
you?
I just posted it on my. Someone else made it.
No, I know.
I just put it out for 3 million people to see because I loved it so much.
You got 3 million?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Eh. So I'm no Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
No
Taylor
Swift.
Are
you talking about There Will Be Blood? What do you mean?
No, there's a video. Somebody just edited together a video, and the entire video is just Paul getting beat up. The whole
Daniel
video.
Daniel Day-Lewis, Hugh Jackman. Like,
everybody. Just kicking the shit out of him.
Yeah.
In every movie.
Yeah.
And his reactions to being beat up. And it's actually impressive how many different kinds of reactions. They go back to 12 Years a Slave a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
And then some movie where you're chasing a chicken and you get hit by a car. What? I don't know what that movie was. You're like chasing a chicken, like in Brooklyn.
That's actually one of the greatest moments in 12 Years. It's like when he pushes back and it's the first.
Oh, he beats the shit.
Right?
Yeah.
It's one. It's amazing. It's award worthy just that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I gotta make. Yeah, that's good. It was a good reminder that I need to go kick some ass.
You need to kick some ass.
Yeah.
No, but it's like Daniel Day-Lewis and Hugh Jackman and like everyone.
Yeah.
Choose how just literally.
You're not on there beating me up, are you?
No.
Okay, good. Yeah.
It's funny, I'm thinking of Fassbender and I saw Steve Jobs at Telluride.
Oh, yeah.
And I was so turned on by the Aaron Sorkin script. Yeah. It just flies, right?
I've heard.
It's
yeah.
Very.
Did you see it?
No.
I want to see it.
My husband saw it Thursday and really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those scripts, I hate when people are like, wow, this script is too long. It's like, the script used to be like 190 pages or something. And because you get through the shit.
Yeah.
That's Aaron Sorkin. I love the rhythm of it. Yeah. So much fun, that rhythm.
But here's the odd, crazy thing. I was like saying to myself, all they have to do is just shoot this. Just get out of the way. Just shoot it. It's going to work. I didn't like it as much.
Oh.
It's fine, but I
interesting.
Don't know what it is.
Interesting.
It's just that I, you know, when you read something, obviously you got to know more about that. But you see a movie.
Yeah.
And then you see the movie later, and it's not quite the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see it, though, because that subject matter, to hear that it's, like, an aggressive film in some ways, or, like, you know, it's just not a subject matter you associate, like, speed and, like, intensity with, right? A guy who makes computers or whatever, you know, so...
I think he's a mad genius.
Sounds cool. I want to see it.
He's the opposite of the Brian Wilson genius, though, right? Like Brian Wilson wouldn't hurt a fly.
Yeah.
And Steve Jobs is like, how many flies do I kill to get up there?
Right? Yeah. I love this thing that Sorkin said the other night. Charlie Rose said that I believe that deep down he did not feel he was. Love or being liked. Wow. He didn't really feel that he was a lovable person. So he took that feeling and he made these products lovable. And by people loving those products, he found a kind of love. Which totally, when I heard that's really good. Yeah. That's an excellent
that's a great
read.
Yeah.
But you don't really feel that in the film, though.
That's cool, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else is really good?
Spotlight.
That was
the question.
Yeah.
You guys?
No. Didn't get to
see
it.
It's just bulletproof. It never knocks you flat the way it's not a visual opera or anything.
Yeah.
It's so solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Tom.
Yeah.
He's such a good filmmaker.
I think what else can be said about the scandal in the Catholic Church and then the Catholic...
Yeah, I grew up Catholic in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
There are two actors who are victims, particularly. One who's kind of, doesn't want to talk about it, kind of defensive. His kid, I don't think my kid didn't know this happened.
Yeah.
And he's gruff in a kind of awesome way.
Yep.
And there's also a gay guy, a little overweight, but he's, and they're both so, they really get you. And all that I said, you just see these two victims. And it's so much compassion.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, nobody ever announces the compassion. You know, it's a thrill.
Yeah.
Right.
It's really nice. It really gets it.
Wow.
And the real guys are making the tour. The real journalists from Boston Globe.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. Were you a huge Brian fan before the film? Before you saw Love and Mercy, since you've seen it so many times? Or
was I
were you a huge Beach Boys fan?
God,
and
even pre-Beach Boys, I think that the Beach Boys today, I have the album, which is all instrumental, it's just the tracks.
Yeah.
The Let 'Em Run Wild track, it's really great to listen to just because it's just Brian's instrumental side.
Yeah.
I'm
cool.
Floored by that.
Yeah.
And I had this interview with him in '94. I was telling Paul that a little girl I once knew, which is he has said his favorite part of that whole song is just the beginning. The dan, 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 you know. Then before, once the vocals kick in, maybe not as good. And I told him that, having been a kind of amateur piano player, that I tried to figure out how to get the notes just so and play that just so I could satisfy myself. And like all geniuses, he was impatient and almost irritated that I couldn't figure it out. You can't do that? That's a genius. So they can't conceive of someone not being gifted enough to figure out, you know, but to him it's a snap.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
The way their mind works. I'm not working on that level.
And I also telling Paul that I happened to be at an apartment way back in '74, this crazy period, and he was banging the piano, trying to work a song out.
Wait, you were there in person?
I was upstairs, living above the guy who was a photographer for the Beach Boys tours. And he, and Brian was down there.
Yeah.
Working on the song, making mistakes, trying it again. I said, this is fantastic. Is this actually Brian? So I went down on the pretext of, you know, borrowing a couple of
Things. Yeah.
And Brian was like, you know, 300 something pounds and beet red eyes and skin the color almost blue ball, and he was like expansively talking about some idea, and he's getting all excited, and he saw me and he runs over to the front door. I'm just going, oh hi, I'm just and he looks at my face right away and he read me as being disappointed in how he looked. I didn't mean to.
Yeah, you can't hide it. Yeah.
But he saw it right away and he went, whoa. He kind of backed away.
Wow.
I didn't, and he's, you know, sensitive creature.
Yeah, he is very sensitive creature. Wow. That's so interesting.
And I made a tape, though, a little audio tape of him playing and struggling with his song. It was great. I used to play it to people afterwards. And I lost the tape. I can't find it.
That is so cool.
But it was
cool.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That was your brush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brushed up against it. Yeah, I was saying, I don't think he could enter a room with a piano and not go to the piano.
Yeah, that's where he's like most comfortable, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like he literally just sees it as like compelled to just go sit.
Yeah. I know people are like, I had a roommate who was a piano player who had a lot of issues, and the only time he ever looked like a normal person.
Sitting in the piano.
Yeah, one of my very good friends, and he's a brilliant piano player. And when he's at the piano, he seems calm.
Yeah.
And when he's not, he is a mess. You know, I shouldn't say but you know, it's really amazing when somebody's that connected to something, where it's just that's
totally. They're like almost like medicating with it.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever played any instruments?
Not me.
Yeah, I play the guitar. I used to dick around a lot more when I was younger, but yeah, so I play the guitar a little bit, and then I really wanted to. I want to get an upright piano because I learned a little bit for this, and I loved it. It was such a nice thing to sit down to. But I just don't know if my neighbors are going to appreciate it in New York, you know. But that's an instrument I would like to. Yeah.
You guys live in the Lower East.
We're in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Yeah. It's great.
Big place?
No. It's New York, you know.
I know. Who has a big place in New York?
Yeah, but it's nice. It's great. Yeah, I love it. Love my neighborhood. It's great. Yeah.
My son lives in
Clinton Hill?
No, it's now I've forgotten. Something Heights. Crown Heights.
Crown Heights. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I got friends there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he and his girlfriend and I were going to Vietnam in March. 10 days.
Wow. Okay.
You ever done?
Gonna be where?
Vietnam.
Oh, wow. Cool.
No, I haven't. I want to.
My husband's done it. I've never been to Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
It's wonderful when you get there. Yeah. It's a struggle to fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
The whole thing is to get away from the absence of corporate brands. And, and that's a Marxist country, so you don't have as much in the way of, you know, McDonald's, and it's nice.
Yeah. That sounds nice. Sounds good.
I would love to go visit those places. I have a long list.
I know. It's so
long
hard
list
with freelance.
To get to.
Also, we are freelance, so planning big trips is so hard. We have to do it, like, quick. Otherwise, you know, planning something for March probably ain't going to work.
No. Yeah, I just got invited on a trip in April. I'm like, I'll let you know, March 20th.
Yeah.
Good. I'm going to go down to Politicon.
Nice.
Enjoy. So are we seeing you at Vibrato?
I'm absolutely going to be
okay, good.
Lunch.
Oh, good. Okay, great.
I've never even been to Craig's, have you?
No. Yes, I've been to Craig's. I didn't realize that's where the lunch was, but great.
Okay.
All right, good to see you. See you Monday.
Nice. Thank you so much for your support of the movie.
Yeah.
Really.
It's really nice.
It's really nice. I mean, we're all...